you, Larry.
No problem. Good morning.
Good morning, Elias. Good morning.
And what shall we discuss?
Well, that's a good question. This is the first time I've come up here I didn't have the sense of where I could focus on the session because, I'll give you a specific event. This past weekend, I had three disappointments in one day that ordinarily I could really understand and put it in some perspective. But like many in this time, I immediately really could visualize a white gray fog all around me, and it did not feel that comfortable. I was aware of not feeling comfortable in this place. And, I know there are others who are going through this kind of thing right now, even maybe with more perturbations in that fog. I have in the background, I'm connected to something vast. I really felt that. But on the official reality level, I had never experienced that before. Why? And it was visceral. I mean, I could feel it and see it. And I told my daughter the next day, you know, I'm really experiencing the fog here. But she wasn't used to hearing me talk like that either. And I couldn't go anywhere with it except to move through it. I wasn't frightened, but I knew it was really different. And that all the motivation that I experienced to do things, to accomplish things, to go through my schedule and my day, wasn't there. And I did review some of your, the next day actually, Monday, I went to one of your old early transcripts, it was 10 or 11, way at the beginning, and you talked about, in that transcript, how emotion-focused people do go into fogs, and that thought-focused in a later session would be entering these states. So my question is, can you elucidate a little bit about what that is? Can you say, why would one create, since that's my creation, based on this wave phenomena and the intensity increasing, why that manifestation for a thought-focused person or for anybody, why that particular way it shows itself, or it becomes apparent or experienced.
Obviously, you each process differently and with different focus types, you process information differently, but one commonality that you all share is when you begin to experience in a manner that is either very unfamiliar or unknown to you, your body consciousness does not interpret a frame of reference.
Okay.
Your body consciousness is more than a shell. It is more than a vessel. It is an expression of you. And in that, one of the functions that your body consciousness incorporates is memory. You think that memory is held in your mind. Actually, memory is held in your body consciousness. Every experience that you have generated throughout your focus is stored in memory within your body consciousness. This is what creates associations. Associations are created or born out of experiences. And they are held in relation to the memory of the experiences. When you generate new experiences that are farther removed from your realm of what is natural to you, or what is familiar to you, or even with many individuals, what is logical or rational to you. This would especially be typical of thought-focused individuals and many politically focused individuals. When you generate these types of experiences, your body consciousness does not incorporate a memory, and therefore it does not incorporate a reference to what you are experiencing. Therefore, what occurs is your body consciousness, which is directed by your subjective awareness, is attempting to search for a reference.
Yes.
And in not discovering a reference, you feel in a fog.
Yes.
For this becomes very real. There is no reference point of stored memory. Therefore, the body consciousness is, in a manner of speaking, unsure of what to do. And you feel in a fog. Another aspect of the fog is your thought mechanism cannot translate what is not present.
Oh, interesting.
The thought mechanism translates information. If the body consciousness cannot reference a memory, it cannot offer information to the thought mechanism, and therefore the thought mechanism is not functioning in a manner that is familiar to you. Therefore, your thinking becomes hazed.
Right.
And you are accustomed to processing through thinking.
Yes.
And therefore, what occurs is you do not know what to think.
Right. And now, how may I view that in the most beneficial way? Is that something I could do? Just simply go with the flow, so to speak?
Yes.
Okay.
The most conflicting action that would be creating the most difficulty is to oppose it.
Okay.
And in that, if you merely allow yourself to move naturally, not judge yourself, which I am aware is very difficult. For them, especially in certain actions that you perceive are necessary or that you must do or that you need to do, or that you are obligated to do. I am aware that the associations and the beliefs are very strong in certain directions, and it can be difficult not to judge. But reminding yourself that generating the judgment and the opposition and the pushing merely prolongs the situation, and it emphasizes it. Therefore, it becomes more intense.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
If you allow yourself to merely move with that energy, it will dissipate more quickly, and you will move back into your familiar processing mode,
right,
with new information.
Really new information.
Yes.
Great understanding of how other people process, which I have no idea.
That also is a byproduct.
Yeah.
But it will eventually move the experience to be translated by the thought mechanism.
Okay.
For you are experiencing, but you are experiencing new.
Yes, I got it now. Yes.
Therefore, the new experience is being processed, and will be translated. But if you are opposing it and attempting to force continuing to discover an old reference, it merely increases the disorientation.
I get it completely. It's also similar to a process when I was with a woman having a coffee, and she was very open to other realities. And in her presence, I went very, very far in consciousness to a place where I could feel the pressure and the pulsing of some primal generative force, for lack of a better word. And when I brought it to you, you said, oh, that was the pulsing of consciousness.
Yes.
And I understood that, but boy, it was such a fog and such an extremely difficult thing to even get nowhere. It had a similar quality, although they were different experiences. But they're breaking into new territory for, as you say, the physical body consciousness and for the awareness. So I see what you're saying. It really didn't last all that long, I have to say. It was just a couple of days, and then I had clarity, and I knew what to do. I actually went to previous transcripts and found some acknowledgement of the experience, which was very reassuring, and a way to view it, process it, through thought, which was helpful. Now, I anticipate there'll be more of these kind of episodes, and they may have greater intensity. Or now, I might actually enjoy them in a way that I couldn't even begin to consider, because this one came out of left field somehow. It was interesting, the day I was in this fog, I was at an event I would never go to. My daughter is like a Borlaugan type, loves family, animals, and she kept talking about sheep. And I remember Mary had a little lamb, and the little lamb followed her wherever she went, and it was like the lamb was lost. All this has a lot of overlays of, symbolism. But she wanted to go to this sheep event with wool people and sheep, and we went. And I was really out of my element. Not only was I in a fog, but I was in a world that was so completely differently aligned for me. These weren't thinking people. These were people who were the stock of the earth, who were completely naturally, in sync with nature. And I could feel it, in the vibe of all the sheep everywhere and the smell of earth and grass and the fur and the oil and the sheep. It just, on every level, was a whole different visceral experience. And that intensified the fog for some reason. Or at least it made me very aware. The contrast was so, it was producing a distance between where I regularly sit in my reality versus what I had entered into. And I guess this is going to increase. Go with it. What else? I came here to do it, to experience it, to create it, to participate. So here I am. What the heck?
But the more that you allow yourself to accept and experience, the more you expand, and the more you shift with ease rather than trauma.
Exactly.
And I will express to you, as I have been in recent time framework,
yes.
There are significant changes occurring. They are occurring throughout your world. Mm-hmm. And in this, you are beginning to glimpse the enormity of this shift. And as it continues to move, it continues to intensify.
Yes. I wanted to say along those same lines, about a week or two prior to the fog, I had I was kind of moving along in life, percolating along in my usual fashion, which was somewhat comfortable, when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it seemed like there was this huge financial debacle. And I turned on the TV, and I sucked up a lot of input there, and fear, and my whole internal peace, I felt, was at stake. And I was shocked at how my peace that I've been steadily cultivating like a little garden could be annihilated in a second, in a matter of seconds, by viewing this programming. I went right to my core. It shook my whole cage, rattled my cage. And I was, like, freaked out for a few days about, name it, anger, frustration, hopelessness, loss. I had everything, and I was resentful at myself that I had lost my composure, that I had allowed this wave of fear to come at me. I just slipped right in, and it resonated with me clearly. And then I decided again, you know, after feeling great, it's worse than the fog. The gut was like wrenched and knotted, and listen, it's not that painful. Don't get me wrong. But it was such a different feeling, and I've never been so able to look at the feeling, sit with the feeling, accept the feeling, go through it without creating trauma. It was merely a question of just, well, being with and then acknowledging, look at how connected you are to your financial world and how it invasive you experienced it. This force coming at you, this thing that you couldn't control, which felt like a wave. So, when you just said, there are things happening that felt like one aspect, like on a harp with a harp string, it felt like merely the plucking of one string in a series of harp strings that are going to be plucked one by one by one by one. And I thought, gosh, if I can't come to terms with this thing now, and I have asked for information from you, I've asked for awareness and acceptance and allowance, and if I don't really start to get focused and real here about what's happening, looking at the signals, as you were saying, and somehow coming to terms with it. Not that you ever really waste time, but much ground would, in a sense, have been lost, you know, in linear time. And so I really wanted to get here to this session today and talk about these intense waves that I'm experiencing, fog. And I know more is coming. I can actually feel where these issues will be coming. I feel great health issues because everybody somatizes their trauma. I mean, you know, we all do to greater or lesser degrees, so the health arena will really see vast focus and shifts, and there'll be emergence of all this tension expressed through physical bodies. And I don't even think we have time for war at a point like this, because on the personal level, everybody will be feeling so invaded. It's really personal now. It isn't somewhere out there in Iraq. It isn't somewhere out there in North Korea with the bomb or something. It's right inside each individual. Well, this is an incredible time for me. And I'm very, very happy. I can't say it enough, because this appreciation and allowance that I'm pushing against here, it's a way for you to embrace these coming changes. And to just stay steady as you go. I'm like a ship. And that they're like rogue waves coming out of nowhere now. This is a metaphor that I really feel. They're called either clear waves or rogue waves. And I love this water metaphor, because it's the emotional intensity that fills, or any intensity that fills, and the convergence of many, many, many little wavelets that start to entrain, and they start to, and as resistance builds up, the wave heightens. And this phenomena we see in our physical ocean happens within us. And then this big connection gets made. And you're nodding away, so I understand. I'm getting acknowledgement that I, yeah,
quite so.
Yeah, that I see that this is. And yet it has to be brought down in my little tiny life. It's really like all me, 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 you know, that life called Sandra. So there's this holding the vaster self and seeing the large pattern, but then it's navigating like second by second by second through life, you know, through the you stand back from your activity or your structured day, you know, just in awe, and you observe it. And it's really an interesting thing.
This is also a significant exercise in trust.
It's the only thing.
Trusting yourself. Trusting what you generate. Trusting that your security, your safety lies within you. And within your own power,
right.
Not outside of you.
Right. Yes, that's very, very profound. That feels like a lot of where I wish to focus. You know, I'm a toy sculptor and a toy maker. I love that work. I love working with my hands. But when you say just what you say, and I have that experience of that personally. When I be that and share that for other people, it's so helpful for them. And in my way, now I've gotten involved with a very tiny miniature version of what happens with Mary and you, Elias. But, you know, I'm not involved with another essence through me. It's just a portion of me, a master portion of me, where I can just get quiet and simply rev up or ratchet up to a quieter, faster reality and draw in information that's helpful for others. And I feel like this is where the ship is headed in these times. You know, just it's an allowance. Not something
yes.
that, really, I turn a lot over each day. I don't know where I'm going anymore. This is the oddest feeling. This is trust. That self is directing and creating in physical reality exactly as it should be. Very little pre-paving, very little, I don't know where I'll be out in 5 years. I got it figured out in 10 years. That was the past life.
Correct.
I don't know in 6 months anything.
This is what I have been expressing for an ongoing time framework.
Sitting
the
home.
Old, familiar directions do not fit any longer. And if you attempt to force and push those old, familiar expressions and experiences into the new, you will merely create trauma.
Yeah.
You cannot force the triangle to fit in the circle. It will not fit. The sharp, clear edges that you have been accustomed to pastly do not fit into the smooth flow of the circle.
So this is a focus of great intensity. More so it felt like I was pondering other kinds of focuses where the stimulus may have been very intense, let's say a lifetime, where it would be like getting run over by a horse and wagon or being burned at the stake or whatever, you know, would have happened, or pneumonia. This is so different because, like you said, there isn't the same context in which to place all experience. So now, the context is rubbery, somehow, and elastic. You know, it's all like taffy. It's all being stretched and moved. And if I don't do that energetically with it, you know, when I become rigid and solidified, I'm going to be brittle and quite damaged and hurt from this process. Now I trust that everything will open up just as it should. I will be talking to you each time I get this wave. Now, Elias, as the wave goes, and as the metaphor, the interesting thing that I found, you know, because there's a correlation in nature to this. There are always correlations to this in the world around us, because everything is kind of fractal, right? There were these GP systems way up in the air, and they were able to look down on these vast oceans, and they realized that there were more than one wave happening at any given time, and that these waves of consciousness, then I would say, are like building in intensities, like they're like subwaves of waves. In other words, this wave is the wave of experience. But there'll be waves in the financial sector. There'll be waves in the health sector. There'll be waves in the actual how we do things, how we become mobile in our world. There'll be waves of. Yeah. So could you elaborate on that a little?
Quite so.
Yeah.
This wave is addressing to all forms of communication. Therefore, that can be affecting of most of what you can imagine. And all of what you engage. For there's communication in every action and every experience. And exchange is a communication.
Yes, it is.
And in that, it is also being affected. No form of communication is exempt from this wave.
Interesting.
Whether it be inner, outer, individual, or collective. And it extends beyond your species. For more than you creates communications.
Right. Everything. Trees, rocks, animals, everything.
Yes.
Water, everything.
And they each have their own different forms of communication. Therefore, all of your reality is being affected by this wave.
Yes, we will see our weather then change, everything.
It already
has.
Yes, your governments.
Yes. Look at what's happening.
Your societies. Your philosophies. Your planet.
Right.
Your creatures. Your systems and foundations.
They're crumbling in a sense. Maybe elastic would be a better word. Reconfiguring.
Or giving birth to new directions. What seems to be occurring and what seems to be negative or that you generate an association of bad or fearful with is not always what it seems.
That's right. Right.
and many times can give way to greater freedoms.
Yes.
And new expansions.
Exactly. And that I am aware of that. That this, well, it's like childbirth. One goes through a process of sometimes great physical discomfort to bring into the world another creation.
Yeah, I see that.
And the foreknowledge, at the same time, the challenges, as we said, one wants to brace oneself somehow for the wave, and yet the approach might be merely to surf the wave, find a way to fly with the wave,
yes,
and enjoy the wave somehow.
Just as with your example of childbirth. You may plan to become pregnant, but you cannot plan the pregnancy. You experience it.
You got it. And the birth. Yes.
Yes. You move with it.
Yes. Yes, you can move with it gracefully or kicking and fighting too. That's a choice.
Yes.
Yes.
Therefore, it is not a matter of bracing yourself
exactly
for the onslaught of a coming wave. The wave exists already.
Yes.
It is a matter of allowing yourself to move with it and experience it just as you would in a pregnancy. Quite so. You can anticipate the prize.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
But
and there is.
Yes.
Yes. Even the process becomes then viewable as a prize. The
yes.
Process. Yeah. Right.
For each moment incorporates its own outcome.
Yeah.
Therefore, you are continuously offering yourself the prize.
Yeah. You know, coming up on the road, I was in the fog coming up on the road. There was literally a fog. I saw right through the fog, and I knew what it was all about. And then I thought, as I viewed all these landscapes from the side of the road, my gosh, there are worlds out there, people with their lives and their realities. And then I thought, this is one physical dimension, and I'm part of so many dimensions right now, so many counterparts. The vastness of that whole thought was so, well, it was expansive, but I couldn't even hold it, and drive the car. You know, when these moments come in, the realization of how little infinitesimal this little place is that's picked out and sort of notched and carved and created, and then there's so much more that any individual is connected to. It just blew my mind. I was very grateful. It was a wonderful blowing of the mind. blow out. Yeah, it was really wonderful. And then I thought of you, and I thought I knew. I'm looking at Elias and so on, but I'm Elias. And this awareness that I'm talking to myself, which was so, it was sweet, which is simple. No fancy.
That is an element to remember, the simplicity.
Yes. So then I thought, I don't know what I'll talk about when I get here. This mouth keeps going. I to change the subject a little bit, I have three lovely friends, and I wanted to ask about these three lovely friends who, I wanted to ask their alignment in family. One lady is Irene. I believe she is a Samadhi. Do I have to give you more information for you to tune into her allies?
No.
Her name is Irene.
What is your impression?
I believe she's a Samadhi. Or Tumul. But I thought she's like me, Samadhi, Samadhi. She's cool. You could help me there. My
belonging Samadhi, you are correct. And aligning to mold, you are correct.
Yes, she's working in a healing profession. Just go out and share that with her. And for some reason, I have very little confidence in this sort of area. It's just not an area where I...
It is a matter of practice.
It's a shy practice?
And this is another element of trusting.
Okay. Because I've been avoiding it. I've been skirting this whole area. The other areas are a little more, I just slip into them, I guess, a little more easily, naturally. But this area feels much more empathic than that in me. But I'll give it a go.
And may be beneficial for you to practice.
Yes, okay, I will do that. So that this process that I undertake where I tune in is just imagining what they could be. And when I conceptualize, I read a statement in a book, I close my eyes, and I sort of be the statement. But this process feels different. Is it?
Yes.
Okay. And what would you suggest? A closing of the eyes and then seeing Irene? And then, is it?
Feeling your intuition.
Okay. Feeling intuition on this side. Okay. Feeling intuition. So it comes to a different way. It comes to feeling like something. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of ways that things come to me. Sometimes the cloud that I'm in feels moist. And if I see an individual and I feel a cold, moist, clammy cloud around them, I know they're getting ready to disengage, let's say. I'm going to leave physical focus. They start to get a kind of interesting webbing. Looks like a cocoon. It's the imagery I created it for me.
Yes.
It's clammy, and it's wet, and then I know that they're disengaging. And I was 44 at a birthday party of my own. Lots of people in my kitchen, and they were all singing happy birthday. I was really in the moment with happy birthday and blowing out candles, and a male voice said to me, "You have now reached the halfway point." And that voice was a male voice up to the left, which was, I guess, an aspect of myself speaking to me, but in such a sharp, strong, nothing like my voice. "You have now reached the halfway point," in a male voice that was so loud. Nobody heard it but me. He said, "Did you hear that? Did you hear that?" Nobody heard it. So it was really an inner voice that seemed so physically real.
Yes.
And I knew then that I would leave this earth at 88. And I reached the halfway point. And some part of me came to explain that to me. And from that point, I trusted that completely. From that point, my life took on a whole different focus. It was like, wow, the information came in and opened a whole vast space to explore that was much more in alignment with what we're talking about now, this process of conceptualizing, of intuiting, of feeling, and it felt safe somehow to go there once that voice came through. I don't know why that triggered such a huge opening, but it was enormous. Yes, somehow there was much vaster, greater purpose to everything. And then I was participating in this physical life from some other way or place or decision. And that I could get to that other place and view this earthly focus in, from a very different perspective. And that's why when I was talking about the GPS systems that look at road waves, there's an analogy there, because when one is centered really strongly in self, or you know, deliberately focused in this conscious aware now moment, you're like this giant GPS system that sees the waves coming in, effortlessly flows on them.
Yes.
They're not even experienced as waves. The GPS system is not experiencing physical wave at all. It's viewing from its place of detachment a phenomenon, which for the GPS system is not real. So that place where that voice came from, which is where you are sitting, Elias, with me now, which I'm talking to me now, if I am attuned to this place, these waves have very little impact on me in a sense. They happen, but there's just a passing through the experience, and then there's greater comfortability with that passing.
Yes.
Okay. That's big. That's a good way to go through life.
Yes.
Not all the trauma. Okay, now back to my other lady friend. This is what Irene's like. My other lady friend is Katie. And Katie, I have some soupy connections with Katie. I've had some lives with her, and I think I've been in a place called Iona with her. She's always talking about an island in Iona where she lived this blissful life as a nun, and I say to her, Katie, I've been with you somewhere where I've had these monastic kinds of experiences, and she's a soul I've been with, Katie.
Yes.
And that's a part we enjoy with each other, this lovely thing. I also feel she's Sumati Sumari. Katie.
Yes.
But she also has Sumati Sumari, but her focus is emotional.
Yes.
And, okay, that's really what I want to say. She's so pink to me. She's so different. She's fragile. And she is emotion focused, right? Is Irene emotionally focused or thought focused? Now, here's my intuition here. I think she's thoughtful.
Political.
She's political. Okay. Wow. Okay. Thank you very much. And my third and final friend, a lovely woman, who I love very much in a different way. She's, her name is Amy. And she channels the voice. And, her energy also is Sumati to me, but maybe tumult, also oriented. Tumult.
Yes.
Sumati tumult. And I think she's an intermediate. Is she an intermediate?
Yes.
And she's, she's Sumati, she's tumult, she's intermediate. And I guess that's it. I always get lost in the energy right here when we're talking about it. Well, anyway, that's very interesting. I can't remember it, but when the tape comes, I'll write it down. So it's interesting. I've drawn in women who, they're not really women to me, by the way. They move past their gender in a sense, and they become these beings that resonate with strongly. They don't know each other, and yet we all have this Sumati kind of spiritual grounding there that we share with one another. It's very lovely. Thank you. Right. Well, that's wonderful. Okay. We have just a bit of time left, and I thought a little bit I would talk about really the personal life now with my, these are this scenario where I'm quite challenged, where everything comes home, where the rubber hits the road. Where all this theoretical stuff is great, but there I sit with my sister, and I have coffee with my sister and lunch with my sister, and we're just strumming right along, and everything seems to be going nicely and comfortably, and I'm wondering what is going on in this dynamic with her, because I'm feeling okay, and all of a sudden, it's like a Vesuvius that with my sister, an eruption. And like, it feels like an attack. And so I look at this. You know, after I leave, I stay calm in the moment, and I look at it, and I view it with some detachment. I acknowledge my hurt. I understand this is objective imagery I'm creating. I'm going to go through all this when I'm sitting there. And And then I bring it home and try to look at it and shift it, to move through it in a way with grace and less trauma. You know, even if it's Mickey Mouse psychological trauma, it's trauma to me, you know. And I don't know why this outburst happens with her. It's like a little attack or assault. And
what is the content?
Okay. She will say that something I value very, very much, a friend. She experiences them as psychopathic. And these are my friends who, for me, the resonance I feel even goes beyond physical. The love I experience with these friends is, it's just surpassing the physical. And I acknowledge these long histories and lineages and focuses that we have. I love them dearly. And we acknowledge and validate each other. This is the focus of our relationship, which is quite different from an ordinary Walmart hello, goodbye. So this is really hitting the core. And I know she knows this on some level, that these are my friends and that I value this. I value my lifestyle. I love it. I chose it. I'm aware of it. I create every day with my hands. I choose it. I appreciate it. I love it. I'm clear. And I feel my loving sister, who's known me my whole life, cannot appreciate what I appreciate, and yet I could appreciate what she is appreciating and encourage her.
And why is it necessary?
That she appreciates. That's the thing that I get to. And do I really appreciate her? Because she's the objective imagery I'm creating that's attacking me. Or I'm experiencing.
But that may not necessarily be a mirror.
Okay. Alright.
It may be a reflection for you to question what you are doing. Why is it important to you that she is accepting or appreciating of your friends?
Well, I get to that place a lot, where it doesn't matter. But at the initial stages of this, it does matter quite a bit.
And what is the association? And is it valid? The association is, if she is not appreciating and accepting of your friends, that reflects upon you. For they are your friends. And you have chosen them. Therefore, that indirectly is a reflection, or the association is, that it is a reflection of you. For the association is, individuals attract to like kind.
I see.
Therefore,
yes.
If she perceives your friends in a particular manner,
I'm alone with
you. Then she must perceive you in that manner also.
Well, she says that to me. She says directly to me that.
But is that valid?
No, it's not valid for me. The thing is, here's the catch for me. If I had had my druthers in life, I really would not like to go to lunch with her. She's in another arena, psychological arena, which is great for her, but not one where I dwell. And so there's this obligation I feel, because she's family and she's directly connected to Harold and Eileen. That's not my folks. Or I believe, Elias, you would agree with me, they're disengaging now, these two people, my mother and Harold. I think they're getting ready to leave the earth plane in the next year or two, at least Harold will.
That is a strong possibility.
Yes, but for Harold, he's shrinking now physically and not doing very well, and my mother, I don't know when, and I just know that it is inevitable, and that because of their condition, they require my help, which I want to give, and my support, which I do in my manner, but it's never how my sister views it should be given, and so this creates a lot of conflict. There's a whole big web here of my sister engineering their life in the current mode it's in, and her struggle with her overwhelmment with what she's created, which I'm not feeling overwhelmed with that created because I wasn't part of it. And so it's an interesting thing here. My sister, I think, may be resenting my lack of participation in the world as she views me, wanting to be a part of that. Do you follow into where I don't feel any necessity to go there? I'm okay if they go, if they disengage and emerge into their next reality. I'm going to do it. I figure, okay.
This is a matter of you addressing
to me.
Your own associations and your own issues, so to speak, in relation to obligation and your association with shoulds and should nots in relation to family and not seeking approval and offering yourself permission to be you.
Well, I feel like I'm doing that so much more than I ever have.
I would agree.
And it has created a great disturbance. And that's why in this small interaction there's an eruption, because there's frustration in me.
It may be helpful to you to assure your sibling that what you are doing is for you and not personally directed at her.
Okay.
And remember, this is another action that is occurring rampantly in this particular wave. Although I cautioned individuals in relation to this particular expression, this is the reason that I cautioned them, for them, individuals are personalizing excessively. It is becoming rampant. Therefore, in reminding yourself of that, you can generate more calm within yourself and not engage the same action, not personalizing what other individuals do, and remaining centered within yourself, but also not judging the other individuals when they personalize, knowing that is what they are doing, and reminding yourself that whatever she is expressing does not invalidate or change your perception of you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I think I'm coming to the end of the time. I don't remember when you started, but you do.
Yes.
Okay, good. And so, I want to be the one that
you
so
are very much well.
This is a very different kind of session for me.
You are very welcome. Mm-hmm. Quite productive. I'm greatly acknowledging of you, my friend, and shall be anticipating our next meeting in great lovingness and appreciation to you. Au revoir.
Au revoir.